So hear the word of God from the opening verses of John's Gospel. It almost reads like a poem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came to the Father full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just recently I read someone's devotional reflection about this passage from John's Gospel. The writer of that reflection raised a question that I hadn't thought about before. She wrote, "Why didn't John just write the Word became a man, or the Word became a human being, rather than the Word became flesh?" And since God is one who inspired John to write these words, why did God choose this way to have Jesus described, that the Word became flesh, not the Word became a person? Like I said, I've never thought about that question before. This devotional writer said that maybe God inspired John to write it this way because flesh is so literal and specific. It's not just human form in general. Instead, it's something right before our eyes, right now. Something we all know and can feel and can see. It's physically, obviously present all the time. Flesh, skin, that membrane that keeps everything together on our insides, that keeps vital things out, in and other things out. It's subject to pain and to pleasure. It can feel the pain of icy cold winds and the pleasure of putting your back up next to a fireplace and the warmth. It also gives us a very specific visible form, the shape, tone, pigment of our skin, our flesh. It's what makes every one of us so distinct from each other, including our very fingerprints. We would not be who we are, and we would not be how we are without our flesh. And it's the same with Jesus, born to Mary. She was told, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus." And John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us." What an amazing gift that is. That God chose this way to visibly, tactily come among us in the very specific form of Jesus. Not just as a booming voice from heaven, not only as a hard to put your finger on spirit presence among us, not just a concept to grasp with our minds, but instead coming with a body. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Skin, fingerprints, nerve endings, and all the physical needs a body has. I love the way that the first letter of John begins, tucked near the end of the New Testament. John wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life, which is to say, this is what we encountered. A body, skin, Jesus made flesh. I also love the way that we can come across in the Gospels stories about the very human side of Jesus. There are times when he was tired and he needed just to be away from people and to be with God, and he went away to isolated places. And that he would get thirsty, like that beautiful story when he was in Samaria and he came to a well and there's a woman there and he asked for a drink. And then he told her about that he was bringing the living water. And he took naps, sometimes in the most unlikely of places, like out in a boat during a storm when the others were terrified about drowning, and he was napping. Then there's the story of Jesus following his resurrection when he was on a beach along the Sea of Galilee cooking fish for breakfast, and he invited the others to come and have breakfast with him. So physical. Even though there are a lot of details about Jesus' earthly life that are not given to us, like that gap between birth and when he went to the temple as a 12-year-old, and then between there and age 30 when he was baptized, all those formative years, we don't have anything about that. But even though there's a lot that we don't know like that, we do know this from Scripture. Jesus was very human, while at the same time being the absolute embodiment of God. There's a phrase that is so true. If you want to know about God, look to Jesus. Read about him, learn his stories, learn his words, absorb his words, pray for a greater grasp of who Jesus is. If you want to know about God, look to Jesus. Because Jesus reveals who God is and how God is. God is not far away removed from all the details of life. God is not sort of a vague idea that helps us organize and make sense of life. God chose to reveal himself in a very specific way, in a flesh-bound way, in Jesus. And year after year, it stretches me to think that God chose this path, this way to do it. Not by way of some magical appearance of a warrior king who would come in, sweep in, and take over, but by way of a baby growing in a young woman's womb and then being born in a cattle stall, in a completely unsanitary place, surrounded by animals and all their smells and the tools that go with animals. And the fact that the first people to see this newborn baby were anonymous laborers working the night shift. And later on, the next people to meet him were some non-Jewish astrologers who had been tracking the movement of a star. But they knew that this star had to do with a newborn king, even though there already was a king in place, King Herod. And shortly after these astrologers left, that reigning and very paranoid King Herod, he issued a lethal order that we all know about having boys under 2 years old killed. And Mary and Joseph and Jesus disappeared into the night and sought refuge in Egypt about 1 month and roughly 300 miles away. Life as refugees. What a beginning. What a route for God to have chosen. It is such a story of contrast. The God of all of creation, unlimited in power, all-knowing, God, yet choosing to come to this earth physically in such a humble and seemingly powerless way. A baby born to a young couple in a cattle stall, soon to become refugees. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Or as it reads in the Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And then John continues, We saw his glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. There is so much that can be said about John's description of Jesus. and the whole story of Jesus. But to narrow this down to just one point to hold on this Christmas day and always, hold on to the truth that God did this to show his love for us. God did this all out of love, a very specific love, a love that was revealed in fleshy ways in Jesus Christ. And even though we cannot see him now, as John and the others did then, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to remind us of everything about him and that he would be with us always, no matter what. There's a hymn that we sing at Christmas. We sang it last night, O Come All Ye Faithful. I'd like to encourage you to find it in the hymnal. It's number 147. This is a very, very familiar carol. It's a well-known melody that's piped into stores and coffee shops and Walmart and Target and even at gas stations when you go to fill up. The third verse is all about these opening words from John, about the Word becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. This hymn is also about our response and what we do with this truth. What we do with this gift of knowing that God came among us in this way, with fingerprints and calluses, and who walked and talked and touched and healed people, bringing healing and forgiveness and a whole new life to people who were desperate for it, not just way back then, but also now today, by way of what he promised. So what do we do with this truth? Well, this old carol points the way. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. That's what we can do. And that's really the only fitting response. So I'm not a lead voice type of singer. So I've asked Pastor Doug if he would start us singing, and we're going to need your help, so we'll sing unaccompanied this third verse from hymn number 147, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you for the gift of Jesus and for this celebration of his birth this Christmas day, for this truth that he was born in flesh and blood, that he walked this earth and touched and healed people, that he came among us as one of us, knowing the particularity of life in the skin with all of its pain and pleasures, its temptations and disciplines. And how you did this in Jesus so that we might know you. Thank you for that hard-to-fathom promise that in Jesus you are with us all the time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you're with us full of grace and truth. That you were with us during times of high celebration and great days, as well as those times when we hit bottom and darkness grows thick and we feel so terribly alone. That you are with us. Remind us in ways that only you can that we are loved, that there is always hope, that your grace is at work in us and around us. And on this Christmas day, however we are spending it, whether with family and friends or alone, enrich our awareness of your goodness to us and your love for us. And then as the old hymn we'll sing tells it, help us to share this truth with others. And we pray all of this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing in response, Go Tell the Mountain. We go from being receivers of the good news to being proclaimers of the good news. That Jesus Christ is born.
Receive these words as words of blessing and challenge as we go out into this day. Go out on this Christmas day in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Do not return evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Guard the dignity of all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.